upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Football Chagoot podcast. My name is Thomas Dunning and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pierce McLaughlin. Hello, Pierce.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well. On today's podcast, we'll be reacting to last weekend's opening weekend of Premier League football. We'll be also reacting to the results of the Scottish League Cup, previewing the European ties for the Scottish clubs this week. A little bit of transfer news, and at the end of the podcast, Pierce will be giving the rundown of the latest Asian football news. So we'll start off with the Premier League results, so match day one. So on Friday, the 15th of August, the first match of the season, it finished Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 2. And then Saturday, the 16th of August, the matches finished Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0, Brighton 1, Fulham 1, Tottenham 3, Burnley 0, Sunderland 3, West Ham 0, Wolves 0, Man City 4. And then on Sunday, the 17th of August, the matches finished Nottingham Forest 3, Brentford 1, Chelsea 0, Crystal Palace 0, Man United 1, Arsenal, Man United 0, Arsenal 1. And then yesterday, which was Monday, the 18th of August, there was one match which finished Leeds United 1, Everton 0. So, Pierce, which match stands out to you the most?
Well, there's two matches stand to me, mate. Aston Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, Crystal Palace.
No. We'll move on now.
No, I think I'm going to go with the Tottenham 3, Burnley 0. Just because, yeah. Obviously, Thomas Frank's first competitive league game in charge, obviously new team, new players, and obviously probably got to touch on the fact that Burnley were probably one of the best defensive record in league in the championship last season, and they had a few chances in the first half that they didn't take. And at this level, if you want to stay in the league and compete, when you get your chances, you need to take them, because Tottenham started off quite slowly, and then they grew into the game, and then once they got the first goal, it was kind of all systems go. And Richarlison scored two brilliant goals, especially second one, Tom. That the technique on that. Remember he did something similar against South Korea in the Qatar World Cup?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I think someone like Richarlison, like, you've seen the way that Thomas Frank transformed Ivan Toney. He could potentially do it with Richarlison. But the only problem with Richarlison is his injury problems. If he can stay injury free, and obviously you've got Dom Solanke to come back as well, so I think things are looking rosy in terms of the striker department. And obviously, can't get any better than that 3-3-0 win in a clean sheet against a newly promoted side at home. And obviously, yeah. And I think the other standout game for me is probably Sunderland 3, West Ham 0. Newly promoted side. Obviously, we all know Newcastle, St James's Park is electric at home, and I think we all know the stadium lights could be the exact same this year. I think their home form is vital, and I think they're probably one of the promoted sides that I think have invested smartly in terms of bringing in some big names. They've brought the boy in Ronaldo from Atletico Madrid, they've brought in Ndringa from Brighton, and they've just recently acquired Mukiele from PSG. So they're getting in some really smart bit of business, and they're not spending like too much money. And I think they looked really, really good at the opening day. I thought West Ham, as soon as it went to 1-0, they just, their arse collapsed. Like, literally, like, Graham Potter's on a terrible run of form at West Ham at the moment. They've barely brought in any players. They lost Mohamed Kudus, who was a star player last season. And I think if they didn't have Jared Bowen, I'd struggle to find out where they'd be in the league table coming into the season, because I don't see where the goals are going to come from. So I think it might be a long season for West Ham. I know a lot of West Ham fans aren't happy about the style of play and obviously the lack of transfer activity. So I think promising signs for Sunderland, and I think Graham Potter's already under fire. First game of the season.
Yeah, I agree. My standout match was Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 2. First game of the season, and it was a really good one. You know, obviously lots of goals, 6 goals in the match. Obviously, Liverpool coming into it with basically a brand new team. A lot of their signings, summer signings started. Kerkez, Frimpong, Florian Wirtz, Ekitike, all started in the match. And yeah, I mean, going forward, Liverpool, they're looking really, really good. You know, obviously, you know, lots of really good players going forward. You know, Ekitike, I thought especially he had a brilliant match. You know, scored the first goal, and he took that really well. And then obviously we saw Wirtz. You know, I thought he had a good debut. I didn't think he was amazing, but there was glimpses of what he can do, and I think you know, the more the season goes on, I think he's going to gradually improve even more, and I think he's going to be a really big player for Liverpool this season. But for saying that about Liverpool going forward, I do think defensively they do look a bit you know, susceptible, you know, because they were 2-0 up in the match, they were cruising basically, and then Bournemouth all of a sudden get two goals, and the two goals that Bournemouth scored, you know, Liverpool were wide open basically, 2 counter-attacking goals. The second one especially was pretty bad. You know, they were going forward, they had about 7 players in the opposition box, Liverpool, and Bournemouth literally just won the ball back in their own box, ran, Semenyo literally ran the full pitch and scored. So I think that's something that Liverpool have to sort out, because if they want to win the title, which they look like they're favourites to do, then they're going to have to sort that out big time, I think. Obviously that was Liverpool, and then Bournemouth, you know, they've had a tough summer with the, like, I mean, they've lost literally the whole back four nearly. Huijsen, Zabarnie, Kerkez, all the players left. They were big players for Bournemouth last season. And they were also missing Christie as well. He's out, and he was a big player from last season as well. So I wasn't sure how they would play in this match, but I actually thought they played well. And I think, you know, I think they'll be fine this season. You know, with a few more additions. They signed Ben Doak as well yesterday. So I think that, obviously me and New Pierce will be hoping that he does well as Scotland fans. You know, hopefully that's it. That'll be a good move for him, which I think it will be.
Yeah, honestly, he played last season on loan at Middlesbrough. He got off to a good start and he caught short for injury. And I think the fact is that he's got obviously a £25 million move to Bournemouth, who, like you say, one of the most exciting teams league, brilliant coaching, and Andoni Iraola. And the fact is, I think they've lost players in the attacking third, so I think it's game time and he'll develop. And the fact is, I think Liverpool have obviously got a buyback clause in that, and maybe a selling fee as well. But I think he's an exciting player for Scotland, and want to keep an eye on, because I think now that the fact is he can maybe play regular first team Premier League football, and I think it's only good for Scotland.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely a good move for him, and you're just hoping that he gets, you know, he's an important player for the team, and he has a season where he plays regularly. You know, that'll be something that Steve Clarke will be definitely hoping for, because obviously this is a big year for Ben Doak. The fact that you know, they get the World Cup qualifiers as well starting, so he'll be hoping that he stays injury free and he gets a and he's a crucial part of Bournemouth's plans this season. But just before we move on, obviously, I don't know if you heard, Pierce, the Liverpool-Bournemouth match, there was that incident that sort of overshadowed the match, which was the racism incident for Antoine Semenyo. You know, he's about to take a throw-in, and I don't know if you saw the video clip of it, but it looked like there was a Liverpool fan. I mean, I don't know if it was him for certain, but he sort of looked like he was hurling abuse at Semenyo. And then, you know, a minute or two later, he reported it to the referee, so
pretty sure it was
you don't want to see that.
Person, wasn't it?
Sorry,
I think it was someone who was in a wheelchair, wasn't it? In this,
yeah, it looks like it, yeah, yeah. I mean, but we don't know for certain if it was him, you know, it's not confirmed that it was someone like that, it was like that certain person. But,
I thought Semenyo had a brilliant game, and stuff like this shouldn't detract from the actual football that was on show, because I thought it was a brilliant match of both sides attacking each other, and there's no place for that in football. If it is the disabled person or someone in that area. They've got no right to be back in their football ground ever again.
Yeah, but you don't want to see that, especially in the first game of the season. You know, you don't really want to see that. You know, everyone's excited for the Premier League to come back, and to see something like that, or to hear something like that. You know, you don't want that to happen. So hopefully that's hopefully we don't see any of that again this season. It's important to mention that. So that's obviously my standout match, but obviously I wanted to just quickly before we move on touch on Man City. They won 4-0, and I don't know if you saw it, Pierce, but I thought it looked really good. You know, we all know Man City last season had a really bad season.
One man really, I thought was unbelievable was Tijani Reinders.
Oh yeah, as I was about to touch on him. Oh, I mean, that was the one out. He looked wow. He looks like what a player he looks. You know, got an assist on the game, and his goal. He took his goal really well. He looks a really good player. And obviously Haaland got his two goals as well. I mean, no, I feel like Haaland doesn't get talked about anymore. Like about, I mean, he's still the best striker in the Premier League. But I feel like people talk more about other strikers like Haaland. Like Isak and players like that. But for me, it's definitely Erling Haaland.
Haaland's the best penalty box striker, but in terms of all round play, he's not the best.
Yeah, no, but he's just an absolute goal machine. Like,
you want goals.
If he gets a chance Haaland. In the box, he'll score.
Aye. With Haaland, he won't create a goal by himself. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, that's true.
He's very much like he needs the service. Like, we've seen that when his debut season, when Man City went to treble De Bruyne. De Bruyne got how many assists for Haaland? Because his movement's good. Like, he's one touch, two touch finishing. That's what he's so good at, in the air, on the floor, and he's got electric speed. But he's not the best all-round footballer, but he's, in terms of goal scoring, he's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, definitely is. The fact that they won 4-0 Man City, you know, that was a standout match for me. You know, they looked really good. They had the new debut player, Ryan Cherky. He scored as well. And I think if Pep Guardiola can get the best out of him, then Cherky's going to be one hell of a player this season.
I'm going to mention something about Cherky. We've seen you watch him. Does he not kind of remind you a little bit like Adil Tarab?
Yeah, you know, I generally was thinking Adil Tarab a wee
just
bit.
In terms of he's kind of a wee bit stalky, he's a bit of arrogance, he does flicks and tricks from golf, and he's just got that a bit about him. Like, he's not really a system player, he just floats and he's so skillful and like. He's just an exciting player.
Yeah, he's like a maverick player, kind of.
Yeah.
Like a maverick player. Like just,
he's a maverick player.
He's pretty different. I think he's a player that Guardiola needs in his team. That's sort of kind of something different.
Yeah.
You know, because we all know Guardiola signs players to play that system that he wants to play. Whereas I think Cherky's a bit more off the cuff, kind of wants to do his own thing, which I think Man City do need.
As long as Guardiola doesn't ruin him, just let him be.
Yeah. Don't they? Hopefully, Cherky gets to play the way he wants to play, and because when he plays, he's a really good player. I saw him a little bit at Lyon, and he looks really good. So Yeah, I think he's going to be a good one this season to watch. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on Man City. So that's the Premier League covered. So we'll move on now to the Scottish League Cup. So the likes of Celtic and Rangers are back in Scottish League Cup action. So I just want to quickly go through the results. So on Friday, the 15th of August, there was one match which finished Celtic 4, Falkirk 1. On Saturday, the 16th of August, St Mirren won, Hearts won, and St Mirren won on penalties 5-4. St Johnston 0, Motherwell 1. Greenock Morton 0, Aberdeen 3. Partick Thistle 2, A United 0. Rangers 4, Alloa 2. And then on Sunday, the 17th of August, there was two matches which finished Kilmarnock 2, Dundee United 1, and Livingston 0, Hibs 2. So, Pierce, which match from the weekend stood out to you the most?
I think it's got to be Midden Hearts. I think that's a giant killer early on in the rounds. Because St Mirren, I don't know if you've seen, obviously, kind of early pre-season, but the League Cup group stage, they flew through the group, topped it. And they've had a good start to, they've had a kind of okay start to the season. But, like you say, Hearts are one of the favourites to potentially split the top two this season. Obviously, the investment of Tony Bloom. And obviously, they've had a good start to the season, Hearts. And obviously, Hearts' aim is always to get in the latter stage, get to Hampden for both cups. That's not been achieved. And Stephen Robinson has got to take tremendous credit for that. St Mirren at home, scored early on. Alex Gogic, what a goal that was, by the way. Talk about Richarlison. Gogic is better. He's one of these players, right? Whenever you watch him play, he gives 100%. He throws his body in the line. He's quick. He's strong. He's a manager's dream. He can play a number of positions, and you'll get a 7 out of 10 him every single week. And I'm surprised that what Edinburgh sides or Aberdeen haven't went in for him, because I think either of those sides could do with an Alex Gogic, because obviously played for Hibs before, never really worked out previously. But at St Mirren, he took his game to the next level. And then obviously Hearts equalised later on for a set piece, and then the penalties, it's a lottery, isn't it? But St Mirren prevailed through it in the next round, and I think for me that's got to be the tie down, because obviously Hearts have not been crashed out of the League Cup.
That has to be the match for me as well, the standout match. You know, because I definitely expected Hearts to be there in the last four or even the final. I saw the tie before the match started, and I was expecting Hearts to get through that. St Mirren are a good team, but I did expect them to get through. So that's a real big disappointment for Derek McInnes, because, as you said, Hearts have started well this season. And to go out in the Cup in that early stages, they'll be really disappointed with that, because I think the League Cup is definitely something that Hearts should be aiming to at least try and win every season, because they are capable of it. But for St Mirren, that's a really good result for them. Their manager, Stephen Robinson, he signed a new deal last week as well. So, for St Mirren, it's looking like the only way is up. I just pretend I never heard that. Hearts. That'd be a real disappointment for them. Dan McInnes will be really disappointed. I wanted to just also quickly point out Rangers 4, Alloa 2. Obviously, Rangers did get through that match, but Alloa gave it a right good go. Rangers went 1-0 up in the match, and then Alloa equalised. And I think for Rangers, they really struggled. Again, I saw Oliver's first goal, and I mean the mess Rangers made of that goal was ridiculous.
Comical.
Yeah, it really was, and I just don't know what it is with them domestically in Scotland. They just every match for them is just difficult.
Even the second goal, Tom, it's a set piece,
yeah.
and no one's winning the aerial
yeah.
challenge, and then there's a second ball, and the quickest player to react is Alaba player. For me,
yeah.
that's schoolboy defending,
yeah.
especially even the first one. I think it was Bailey Rice down the left hand corner. He just gets beat far too easily, and then in the box, there's enough Rangers players there back there, and it's just like pinball. It's really, really poor, because when you compare that to the European form Rangers, it's night and day.
Yeah, I mean every game for them is, it's just as I said, it's just a real struggle for them domestically, and you know they should be beating Alaba comfortably. Let's be honest. But I'll put the team into the match that we're going to get back into it and take Rangers right to the death. But you know, end of the day, but Rangers did get through the tie, and that's them through the next round. But it was far from convincing. And once again, for Rangers fans, I think they should be worried, because at the moment it just seems to be a struggle. So yeah, I just wanted to quickly touch on that. So that's the League Cup sorted. So I just wanted to quickly touch.
You
so
want to
we'll,
mention the draw, Tom? You want to mention the draw for the next round?
I don't know the draw, mate.
Well, do you want me to read it out?
Right, hold on. So, actually, Piers, do you know you want to read the draw for the next round?
Yeah, so the next round is on Saturday, the 20th of September. And we have Aberdeen at home versus Motherwell, Kilmarnock at home versus St Mirren, Partick Thistle at home versus Celtic, Rangers at home to Hibernian.
Thanks, Pierce. So, yeah, that's that covered for the Scottish League Cup. And then we'll talk about these matches after they're played, and we'll react to them. But sticking on Scottish football, a big week for Scottish football clubs. Celtic, Rangers and Hibs are all, and Aberdeen, sorry, are all in European action. So Celtic and Rangers are playing in the Champions League playoff round. So if Celtic Rangers were to win this playoff round after two legs, they would both be in the Champions League. So we'll start off with Rangers, Pierce. Their playoff round is against Club Brugge. So they will be playing today, which is Tuesday, the 19th of August, and they'll be playing Club Brugge at home. So how do you think that will go, Pierce, tonight? And do you think Rangers will or will they not qualify?
Rangers at home, yeah.
Yeah, they're at home tonight, yeah.
Well, if the defender is defending his Alaba, you can wave your chance to go back to Champions League football. But if they play the way they usually play in Europe, then they've got a chance. I think Rangers will win this leg, and it will give them an opportunity next week. But let's be honest, Club Brugge are no mugs. They're a very good European side. And Rangers played them early on this season in pre-season, which is a totally different ballgame. Because they're not really competitive, just getting 15 minutes. And they looked pretty good back then. So both sides now kind of getting themselves up to speed. So I think, regardless, I think it'll be quite a high-scoring match. I think both sides will score. I think Club Brugge will score at Ibrox. And I think Rangers will narrowly nick it by a goal or two. But I think Rangers will win this tie and give them a fighting chance next week for something to hold on to.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough tie this for Rangers. Club Brugge, you know, they're a very well-respected Belgian side, won the title, I think they did last season. And they played Celtic, actually, in Champions League last season and gave Celtic a really good game. It was a draw, one each. But in my opinion, I thought Club Brugge deserved to win that. That match that night, I thought they played really well. So they are a really good team. I think they lost one, I can't remember his name, but they lost one of their star players to Sunderland this summer. I think he'll be a big miss for Club Brugge. But it's gonna be tough for Rangers. I think obviously they're at home tonight. I think if they've got any chance to qualify for the playoff round, I think tonight they're gonna have to get a big result. And I mean a big result, as in, obviously they need to win, but I think they'll need to win by at least a 2-goal, 3-goal margin. Because I think if they go into the away group, the way tie, only one goal up, or if it's a draw, or if even if Club Brugge are win, then I think they're going to struggle. Because I just think, I do worry about them defensively. I don't think defensively they're strong enough. To navigate an away tie with a big goal margin. So I think, yeah, so as I said, I think they need to win tonight by a big goal margin. But my prediction over the net, will they get to the playoff? Will they get to the Champions League, actually? Sorry. I'm going to say, yeah. I'm just going to stick my neck out. I think they will, because I think they've got so much experience of European football now. As we've talked about it in this podcast so many times, I don't know what it is with European football, but they just seem to turn up all the time. I think Club Brugge, they're a good team, but I think Rangers are capable of getting through the two ties. So I'm going to say I think Rangers will get to the Champions League.
I'm going to say no.
And you're going to say no. But obviously we'll talk about it as the time comes. And by the way, if Rangers or Club Brugge do lose, they will drop down to Europa League. So it's either Champions League or Europa League for Rangers or Club Brugge. And that's the same with Celtic, who and the team that they'll be playing against. And Celtic will be playing against Kairat. They're a team from Kazakhstan. I'm going to be honest, viewers, I don't know much about them. All I do know is they beat Slovan Bratislava in the last tie, which is quite impressive considering Slovan Bratislava were in the Champions League last season. Celtic will be playing Kairat in the playoff round. They will be playing tomorrow at home. And then obviously Celtic will have the big travel in the next tie away. I believe when Celtic play Kairat away, they'll be closer to China than they are to Scotland. So it just shows how far away they are.
I'll be closer to me.
Pierce... exactly. Maybe Pierce can pop along and watch it. Pierce, so what do you think? How do you think that tie is going to go?
I think, well, Celtic played Bratislava last year and they annihilated them, let's be honest. And this team beat Kairat on penalties. So I think it'll be a similar task, but I think the away leg is going to be really difficult because of the time zone. And Celtic have played away from home in Europe before in Kazakhstan when they played Ustana and Shakhtar Karagandy. Obviously a few seasons, but under Lennon and obviously Brendan Rodgers in his first spell in charge. So in both times when they went away, Celtic struggled. And obviously, you've got to factor in as well that the right after the second leg, both for Celtic and Rangers in the Champions League playoff round, is the first Old Firm game of the season before the international break. So big games around the corner. So I think both for Celtic and for Rangers, the first leg is crucial. I think Celtic need a performance again. And I think Celtic need at least a 3-goal margin to go to Kazakhstan to be comfortable, because we know these kind of places will be hostile. And the first 10, 20 minutes is crucial away from home to hold your own and then just try to get a foothold in the game. But I think Celtic will be too strong. And I think Celtic will do the job at Parkhead. And I think that's what will get them through the tie and into the group stage of the Champions League.
Yeah. I never want to disrespect a team. I never will disrespect a team that play in Champions League playoff round, because obviously they deserve to be there. But I'm very much expecting Celtic to get through this tie. You know, Kairat Almaty, I don't even think they've ever played the Champions League before. You know, I mean, you compare Celtic's European experience to Kairat's, it's night and day. And going based on Celtic's Champions League performance last season, you know, they should be more than capable of getting through this tie. I totally agree with what you say. I think Celtic tomorrow are going to have to get a very good result. Because going away to Kairat, that's going to be tough. obviously Celtic have got the better squad, but travelling that far away, and it, you know, it's getting there is going to be really, really tough. So I think Celtic are going to go into this match tomorrow expecting to get a few goals and going over there and with a comfortable lead, because I think if they go over there and the tie is still very much in the balance, I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, we have talked about Celtic this summer and the fact that in terms of transfer business, it's been really quiet and concerning for Celtic fans. But when you look at that squad compared to Kairat's, you do expect Celtic to get through. But I'm saying this on the fact that I've never watched Kairat play, and they might turn up to Celtic Park tomorrow and blow them away. So it is a very much a favourable draw for Celtic, apart from the travel. But I'm expecting Celtic to navigate these two ties. And I do expect Celtic to be in the Champions League league phase when that starts. So that's Champions League teams covered for Celtic and Rangers. And we'll move on into the Europa League. So we've got one team playing in the Europa League playoff round in Scotland, and that's Aberdeen. And they will be playing FCSB, which I think is Steaua Bucharest from Romania. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they call themselves that. I just think it's better calling them Steaua Bucharest. Anyway, they call Steaua Bucharest a very well renowned Romanian side. And that's who Aberdeen will be playing at. The first tie is at home at Petrodre for Aberdeen, and then they'll be going to Romania in the away tie. So, Pierce, how do you think that will go for Aberdeen?
I think Aberdeen will lose. And I want all Scottish teams to qualify and do well for the coefficient and have as many teams in European groups as football as possible. Well, league table form now. But I think the way Aberdeen started the season has been very poor. And I think that's down to personnel selection. And I think they've lost firepower from last season. They've lost Papi Gay. They've lost Kevin Nisbet. And obviously, at the start of last season, they had Miofsky as well. So they lost Miofsky. They've lost Duke. And I don't think they've replaced that. So I think that's the sole reason. And then in the middle of the park, if you play Per Nielsen and Graeme Shinnie together, you're asking for trouble, because both of them have got no legs whatsoever. You can play one, not the other. And I think Petrodre will be jumping, and rightly so, give them a fighting chance. But Steaua Bucharest is a massive club side. Romanian side, former Champions League winners back in the day. So, yeah, it's got a big task. But I fully expect either Aberdeen to get a draw or get narrowly beaten, but I don't think they'll qualify for the Europa League group stage. I think they'll drop down into the Conference League.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree with you, Pierce. That's not to say Aberdeen, I think Aberdeen are capable. I think they definitely are. But I'm having to go on based on the league performance so far. I mean, I watched them against Celtic and I thought they were really poor. You know, I watched them against Hearts in the first game of the season as well at Tynecastle. And again, I thought they were poor. I think they've had a tough summer in terms of transfers. I think, again, they've brought in a lot of players that I'm still not sure about. I think it's going to be a tee. I think it's going to be a while until I think we see some sort of run of results. But I just think they're going through a bit of a transition with their squad at the moment. I just don't, when I look at them, I just don't feel like they're ready for the season yet. For some reason, that's how I feel. But they had such a good end to the season, obviously winning the cup. But I'm just basing it on the start of the season they've had. You know, they're not winning enough games. They get a good result at the weekend, to be fair. But they're going up against a team, Steaua Bucharest. I mean, I've not watched a lot of them, but they are a renowned club around Europe. You know, they won the Romanian League last season, and, you know, Romanian League is quite a strong league. The likes of Cluj, who knocked out Celtic in the Champions League a few years ago. So yeah, I just think Club Brugge, sorry, I just think Stade Bucharest, I just think they'll have a bit too much for Aberdeen. And I think Aberdeen will drop down to the Conference League. And if that did happen for Aberdeen, they did get knocked. I think either way, I don't think it's bad either way, because they do have European football guaranteed anyway. So yeah, but for me, I think Aberdeen will lose that tie. But fingers crossed they don't. And then we've got Hibs in the Conference League playoff tie. They will be playing Liga Warsaw from Poland. Once again, Liga Warsaw, a well-renowned club around Europe, a Polish side. You know, Hibs won the tie last week against Partizan Belgrade. And I don't know if you watched it, Pierce, but that was one mental match. It really was. Hibs lost that match on the night 3-2, but they won the tie. But they won the tie and they managed to get through to the playoff round. So yeah, Hibs against Liga Warsaw, Pierce. What's your thoughts on that?
I think Hibs have got a better chance. I think Hibs have shown in the previous qualifying rounds that they've got a lot about them. They've got goals in them. And I think obviously the start of the season that Martin Boyle and Kieran Bowie have had gives them a fighting chance. They'll cause any defence problems, the two of them, and then if you've got a solid back line, which they certainly do have. They did kind of struggle in the second leg, but they went away from them 1-2-0 and they got the job done via extra time against Partizan. Partizan's a big club in Serbia, but they do have also a very young squad, Partizan. But that Kieran Bowie goal at this last week, and then obviously Josh Mullin's goal at the weekend as well against Livingston. You're like, it's like as if they're every week they're just scoring worldies. So I'm expecting.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I don't know what's happening with Hibs.
I don't know what's happening. I think they've been practicing along with finishing the whole squad. I'm expecting another one the week on Thursday. And I'm expecting Hibs to go and beat Liga Warsaw at home. And I expect them to get a draw away from home and expecting them to qualify for the Conference League. I'm backing Hibs to go into the league phase of the Europa Conference League.
Aye, so this was the one that I'm sort of torn because I think it's two very even teams. You know, Liga Warsaw, very good Polish side, have a lot of experience in European football. But then you look at Hibs and the form that they're in, you know, they've had such a brilliant start to the season, you know, got such a great result in Europe last week. You know, that match. And I'm going to say Hibs. I just think Hibs, with the run that they're on and the wins that they're getting, I just think they'll have that confidence. I think they'll get a really good result at Easter Road. And actually, there's a bit of trouble in the Liga Warsaw camp, because apparently the Liga Warsaw manager, I'm not going to pronounce his name because it's really hard to pronounce, but apparently he's had an offer from Abu Dhabi, an Abu Dhabi football team, and he's been offered a lot of money to go over and manage there. And I think he's apparently considering it very much. So it looks like a little bit of trouble over there at the moment. And I think Hibs will capitalise on it. And I'm going to say Hibs will get into the Conference League and they will be playing European football, group stage football, for the very first time. So yeah, I'm going to say Hibs. What about you, Pierce?
Yeah, Hibs are making it through.
Yeah. We've already talked about that. And I just wanted to say about Kieran Bowie again. I mean, that was something special, that goal. It really was. Anyone that's not watched it, I fully recommend it, because it's not a goal that you see often. So yeah, so that's the Scottish clubs and Europe covered. Let's hope they do well, and we'll talk about it in the weeks to come. So we'll just briefly chat a little bit of transfer news. So obviously the summer transfer window is still open. In Scotland, I want to touch on just one player, Lennon Miller. So he's had a very busy summer in terms of transfer links. You know, lots of clubs in for him. He's finally chosen his new club, and that is Serie A side Udinese. So, Udinese have signed Lennon Miller from Motherwell. So, Pierce, what's your thoughts on that?
Also, club record fee as well, £4.75 million, more than the I think it was over 3 million when David Turnbull went to Celtic. So, massive fee, great business for Motherwell. That will sustain the club for years to come. And just Motherwell is just a well-run club. And they seem to just produce quite a lot of good academy graduates. They give a lot of youngsters a good opportunity to go and play. And obviously, he's 18 years of age. He's captained the club. He's played two full seasons for the club. And I think that's what stands him in good stead. And obviously, he's going abroad rather than choosing Celtic or Rangers, where I think if he chose Celtic, I don't think he plays. Because Celtic are stacked at midfield. I think if he goes to Rangers, I think he starts. But I don't think Rangers have the finances to compete. Because obviously they have a very busy summer in terms of overhauling the squad. And I think going abroad, you've seen what Lewis Ferguson has done, you've seen what Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey, and obviously Shea Adams has done recently as well. All the Scottish players going to play in Serie A, Scott McTominay as well, Billy Gilmore. So I think you'll feel right at home. And I think we all know Udinese's linked. They've got a partnership with Watford. So I think if Watford get promoted to the Premier League, we could even see Lennon Miller playing the Premier League. Because obviously they've got a partnership with, you've seen players like Gerard Deulofeu switch between the both clubs, Odi Ighalo in the past, Roberto Pereira. So I think it's a brilliant move for him. We'll get to play in one of the top five leagues in the world in Serie A, very competitive. And he'll have some Scottish friends there that he's played with at the national team level. And I think he'll develop and he'll learn a different style of football. And I think it'll improve him. It'll just continue his development. And I think it's a brilliant move for in terms of financial for Motherwell. And I think it's a brilliant move in terms of the next step in his footballing career. And like you say, we could even see him in the English Premier League in a not too distant future.
I totally agree. Very good move for him. Club record here, as you said, for Motherwell, 4.75 million, it's been reported. So, very good business there for Motherwell. And then for Udinese, getting a really good young player. I think Lennon Miller captained Motherwell last season. And I mean, he's only 18. That's really crazy. I've seen bits of him and he does look a really good talent. And I think he will do well over there because, as you just said, the record of Scottish players going over there is really good. They all seem to be moving over there now. I think it was a sensible decision in the end. Udinese, a really good, solid Serie A side. I think he'll learn a lot over there. Let's hope he does well, because I think if he does do well, and at the young age he is, I do expect him at some point to go on to do bigger and better things. Definitely want to keep an eye out. Lennon Miller off to Udinese. And then in the English Premier League, as always, lots of names, lots of confirmed signings. We'll start off with Jack Grealish. He has moved on loan to Everton from Man City. So Jack Grealish didn't play a lot for Man City last season. And this summer was told by Guardiola that he can go and find a new club. And he has found that new club and has signed for Everton on loan. So what's your thoughts, Piers?
Well, I think it's a bright move for him. He needs regular football. He's coming at his peak years. He's 29 now. And we all know what David Moyes does to players. He develops players. He makes them better. And you've seen what he did with his squad last season without even adding to it. He just improves players that are in the building. I think Jack Grealish in his natural position in the number 10 role or even on the left. And I think just they were solid last year, Everton. But I think he's the creative spark they've got. They've got Ndiaye as well. They've got Big Beto up front as well. So I think for me, I think it's a match made in heaven. I think obviously when he went to Man City, we're talking obviously Cherky earlier on about Guardiola not ruining him. I think, let's be honest, I think Guardiola's ruined Jack Grealish because he's made him a system player, because he's a bit of a maverick player. He's off the cuff. He just floats around, gets the ball, wanting to take on players. I think when he went to Man City, he very rarely seen him take on players. Obviously, we all know he's the most full player in Premier League the last couple of seasons. So, obviously, he's won big trophies at Man City, but he didn't really play a big part in it. I think when he goes to Everton, he will be a big part, and I think he will be the added spark that they need. And obviously, they've got an option to buy for £50 million £1 million, I think they will take it all, because I think if he goes and smash it, I think that's a brilliant bit of business.
Yep, I agree. Very much a good move, I think, for Jack Grealish. You know, it's a World Cup year as well, so he'd be desperate to get into that World Cup squad next summer. And I think at Everton, he'll get a great chance because he's obviously going to be the main man there, I think. You know, his most high-profile player in that squad. Obviously, David Moyes will obviously have promised him game time. You know, and I'm just hoping we see the Jack Grealish of old, because, as you said, I do agree with you, sort of, that I don't think Guardiola's got the best out of him. I think Guardiola's sort of, I wouldn't say ruined him, because, I mean, you know, Jack Grealish won the treble under him, so, you know, I wouldn't say that's exactly ruining a player, but I know what you mean. Like, I feel like Jack Grealish has lost some of the traits, off-the-cuff traits, that he had at Aston Villa, and I'd like to see that back, whereas just that sort of, not thinking about what he's going to do with the ball, just go with what he thinks. You know, that dribbling sort of he has, and taking players on that I don't think we've seen enough of recently. So hopefully he gets that back, because he is a great player to watch when he is playing like that. So yeah, really look forward to seeing him playing for Everton on loan. Other bits of news, we've got Man United, they signed Benjamin Cesco from RB Leipzig. So over the summer, Cesco was linked with both Man United and Newcastle. But Newcastle have lost out to Man United, and he is now a Man United player. So what's your thoughts on that, Pierce?
I think he's the number nine they need. Like I said, I think we talked on it the last podcast, that he's the option to Newcastle, Manchester United. I think he was going to choose Man United because he's a Man United fan. He loves Zlatan Ibrahimovic, played for Manchester United. He liked Ronaldo growing up, Cristiano. And I think he's at a young age, he's going to develop, but I think he's a higher level than Zirkzee and Rasmus Højlund. I think he'll take Man United to the next level. He's 6'4". He's rapid, brilliant in the air, and he's been a standout in the Bundesliga. So I think, for me, it's a win-win situation. I think he'll just get better and better in terms of his numbers, and I think he'll elevate Man United to for away the relegation zone and potentially into European football next season. I think I'm expecting big things from Man United this season, because Man United had a full season to adjust, get rid of players that he doesn't want, and then get the players that he's want. And he's obviously got Mbeumo, Cunha and Cesco as a front three. That's pretty exciting. And then obviously you've got your midfield and your back line. But I think now for Man United, I think probably the problem is now the goalkeeper situation, because I think all around the park, I think now they look pretty settled. And I think they've got a variety of options across the park. I think the goalkeeper, obviously Nana's injured, and Bayinder for me is not Man United quality, in my opinion. So I think Man United, I don't think they've probably got any more funds available, but I think come next summer or January, they need to get a new goalkeeper, because Onana's not the one, and Bayinder's certainly not the one either.
Yeah. Obviously, Cesco to Man United, very big signing for Man United. Obviously, the money they paid, I think it was about 73, 72 million. Obviously, paying that much money, it suggests that he's going to be the number nine striker. And for Man United, they have missed a prolific number nine for a long, long time. You know, they had Rasmus Højlund. It just hasn't worked out for him. You know, I feel sorry for him as well, because he came to Man United very young, didn't really have a lot of cover, didn't really have anyone to really learn off, and he's sort of just been thrown in to be Man United's number one striker, which for me he was never ready for. And it does look like Ruben Amorim is sort of telling him to move on. So I think Højlund is going to go at the end of this window. But Benjamin Cesco, he is the Man United's new number nine, big, big guy. 6'4", I think he is. Scored 13 goals for Leipzig last season. Highly thought of. You know, people are expecting big things for him in the future. And I hope he does well, because I actually like the look of him. You know, and I think Man United, they just desperately need this one to work, because, as we all know, the money that they've wasted over the years is really bad. And I think they're just going to have to hope and pray that Cesco works out. And for Man United, that front three of Mbeumo, Cunha and Cesco, if they can get that going, then I think that's something that's going to be really, really interesting to watch. Man United, Cesco. Man United have Sinchesco. And then just lastly, Piers, before we move on to Asian football news, a bit of a surprise one, I thought, this one, but it was announced that Newcastle have signed Jacob Ramsey from Aston Villa. So Jacob Ramsey was a homegrown Aston Villa player, but he has moved on to Newcastle for £14. So what's your thoughts on that one, Piers?
Bit of a surprise one, because he was one of the best players last season, Jacob Ramsey. Obviously, like you say, homegrown, but I think, obviously, these PSL rulings, they're selling the homegrown players that Newcastle have done this season with Sean Longstaff. And obviously Chelsea have done it in the past with a few players as well. So it's kind of a funny one. I think he was a big player last season. He could play a number of positions. I think for Newcastle, it's a quality addition to the squad. But it's one of the ones that kind of leaves a bittersweet taste in the mouth, because you think he probably should have stayed if it wasn't for PSR ruling, in terms of financial fair play, because basically a homegrown player counts as like double the transfer fee, basically. So, and obviously you've seen a lot of the Aston Villa teammates, social media posts defending Ramsey's move, because maybe people think he's probably wanted to move, which I think is probably, that's the club's decision rather than the player's decision.
Yeah, I think it's a sad one, to be fair, because obviously Jacob Ramsey, Aston Villa fan through and through, has been a big player for Aston Villa for a number of years. And it's obviously the moves happened because, obviously, as you said, PSR deals that Aston Villa have to adhere to, and they need to make that money. But for Newcastle, it's a good player. They're going to get still very young, and he's going to work under the manager and Eddie Howe, who got a big track record of developing players and making them better. So I think it's an exciting move for Jacob Ramsey, but at the same time, for Aston Villa, I think they're going to be losing a really good player that could have been captain material for Aston Villa in the future. That's that one confirmed. So that's all the transfer news. So I mean, there is lots and lots of stuff happening. We could go through them all, but we'd be here for ages. Deadline day is fastly approaching, and all the latest we'll try and talk about as much as we can in the podcast in the weeks to come. So for the final part of the show, Pearson will now give his Asian football roundup.
Yeah, so start off with K-League 1 action. So Friday the 15th of August with FC Anyang 0, Hongsteels 1, Jeju SK 0, Gangwon FC 0, and then Saturday the 16th of August with Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors FC 3, Daegu FC 0, Suwon FC 4, Ulsan HD 2, and then Sunday the 17th of August with the shock of the round, and that was Gimcheong Sangwoo 6, FC Seoul 2, Gwangju FC 2, Daejeon Haras Citizen 0. So in terms of the league table, it's looking a bit like this. So Jeonbuk may as well be crowned champion at the moment, because they're sitting 17 points clear at the top of the table, 60 points after 26 matches, and the closest teams to them is Gimcheong, second in 43 points, Daejeon Haras Citizen, final top three position, 42 points, and just outside it is Pongsteelers on 41. In terms of the bottom half table, Daegu FC, rock bottom on 15 points, massively cut adrift. They need an absolute miracle to stay in the league, because FC Anyang in 11th are on 27 points, so 12 points above them, and then Jeju SK, the final relegation playoff place, on 30 points. In terms of Japanese football, with J League 1 action on the weekend there, and all the matches were played on Saturday, the 16th of August, and that was Cash Antlers 1, Avispa Fukuoka 1, Shimizu's Pulse 1, Yokohama Mariners 3, Alberts Niigata 1, Kawasaki Frontale 1, Kuta Sanga FC 1, Tokyo Verde 0, SC Michiru Zelvian 3, Cerezo Osaka 0, Sanfrecce Hiroshima 1, Gambo Osaka 0, Shonan Bamari 2, FC Tokyo 2, Ure Diamonds 2, Nagoya Grampus 1, Vissel Kobe 0, Yokohama FC 1, and actually do have one match on Sunday the 17th of August, and that was Fagiano, Okayama FC 2, Kashiri Seoul 1. In terms of the league table, it's extremely tight at the top half of the table, and I mean really tight, because we've got from first all the way down to sixth in the league. Gota Sanga is top on 48 points. Second is Cash Smithers on 48 points on the exact same goal difference, plus 13. And then in third position, we've got Cash Russo on 47 points. And then we've got three sides all on 46 points, and that's SUG Zelvia, San Fletcher and Rochman, and Vassell Kobe on 46 points. So the top six is separated by 2 points. So it's going to be a really exciting title race. And it could many twists and turns yet to come. In terms of the bottom half table, we've got Alberts de Gata, 20 position on 20 points after 26 matches. Jokke van Zee on 22 points in 19th. And Jokke van Marnoffs, 18th, 24 points. And then just outside the relegation playoff places is Shonan Bamari in 17th place on 25 points. In terms of other Asian football news, it looks like Jasir Asani is joining Iranian side Estegal after he agreed a transfer pre-contract to go in January. But they've agreed to offer $1 million US dollars at the moment to sign him. And obviously manager Lee Jung-ho has agreed to the sale of Asani, taking into account the club's difficult financial situation. All terms between both clubs and the player have been finalised. So he has played his last game for Gwangju FC. Yeah, so Suwon FC striker, bit of a strange one. The Suwon FC striker forward Pablo Sabag is also active as a professional singer, as well as being a professional footballer, and he's recently released a track titled Soul. So if go check out, because he's been buying the goals in recently for Suwon FC, and he's also released a single called Soul. So yeah, so that's a bit of interesting news there. That our professional was now also releasing music. So that is all your latest Asian football news.
Thank you, Pierce, and thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Football Chagoot podcast. This podcast will be available to listen to on the Football Chagoot YouTube channel and also the Football Chagoot website. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
Bye-bye.